This is Infection, the survival podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, November 12th, 2019, episode 252. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Infection, the survival podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, reviews, updates, and more each and every week. My name is Nick Craig. You can follow me on Twitter at Nicholas M. Craig. Of course, check out our website. It's infectionpodcast.com. Now, joining me as it does each and every week, Brian, you're going to have to make this intro quick. We have a lot of Chinese folks listening to the show this week, and they only have 90 minutes to listen to the program.
Yes.
So, quick intro, Brian. How are you doing this evening?
I'm great. If you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, of course, my blog, biteoftech.com. And make sure you go to our website, infectionpodcast.com. On the right-hand side, you'll see join our server on Discord. And in there, you can submit news on the news channel. You can hang out and play games of the week. And you can go through and just chat and do whatever as you play games. So also, there's a Steam group if you want to get live notifications before the show starts. You can click that and a little notification will pop up. We have our YouTube channel, our Mixer channel, and our Twitch if you want to join us live. All the audio forms on there as well, whether you're on an iPhone or if you're on an Android.
Lame.
Better. and also show notes for every single episode up to this point. So if we're going to play a video, maybe you hear something but you want to see the video, just jump in and you can either go to the direct link or we have a video link that goes to our YouTube there and you can pretty much see whatever we're showing on the screen. So I think that's it.
Good. Nice abridge. We've got, again, it's a very strict time constraints due to our epic, our Chinese overlords telling us what to do. we'll get to that in a little while. Game of the week was Dead by Daylight last week. We had a good time with that, and we actually did not discuss Game of the Week at all before the show.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference?
No. Are you going to be here?
Yes, I will.
How was axe throwing? That's why you missed out on Game of the Week this week.
It was all right. I seemed like I hit about 50% of the time.
Hell yeah.
I was very accurate. The thing is I could hit the center, but it's whether or not I got the rotation right.
Yeah, of course.
So there's people who were like hitting way to the right and left. I could consistently put it in the middle, but it's just, it wouldn't stick every time.
Now here's a question. I'm not talking about you. Do they sell alcohol at this place? Cause that doesn't seem like a good thing, but it seems like it's maybe a thing where you can.
Okay. Here's the restriction.
Yeah.
You can do beer and wine in the axe throwing area. You cannot carry your drink across this little line where you throw the axes, but you can drink, set it on a table, walk three steps, pick up an axe and throw it. Now you cannot drink liquor. You can drink liquor out in the main area.
Not interested. Oh, okay. Perfect.
but you can't drink that before the axe throwing, but you can drink as much beer or wine as you would like before you throw an axe. I don't know why.
Interesting.
It's just, I guess there's probably some law about weapons and hard liquor.
Well, that's unfortunate. I guess I'm out for axe throwing, but.
But I mean, after three or four pitchers, I'm sure axe throwing wouldn't be the safest idea.
Yeah. No, I would imagine after a couple shots of whiskey, you know, it's probably not a good idea either.
Fall on your own axe.
Yeah. No shit. So we did Dead by Daylight. That was good. I'm trying to think this week, you know, Brian, I've had this conversation with a couple of people privately. What are your thoughts on the future for Game of the Week? It seems like we struggle, right? And maybe we need to turn it into when there's an update for a game, we schedule it and maybe not making it a weekly thing. It just seems like we just
jump it, just come around and play some games. Don't have a particular one.
Yeah. It just seems like, but when a game does do a big thing, like 7 Days to Die, Miscreated, Ark, Rust, whatever, whenever we decide like, hey, we're going to do a big thing, we can promote it. But I mean, it just seems like our player numbers for Game of the Week are dwindling.
They fluctuate a lot. Sometimes we'll have a lot and then sometimes we won't.
Well, it depends. When a big game does an update, we do. Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm going to just say no Game of the Week this week. I'll be around Friday night. I'll be playing probably Call of Duty or something else. But
one thing you might want to try too, we'll be talking about a little bit later, but Payday 2, they put out a big update that we'll be talking about during the show. you know, something like that, even just jump in and people want to check out the new update, they could all go into the same game and try it out.
Yeah. And, you know, we've tried to do a whole bunch of different games, and it's just the we end up coming up with the same games. It's because that's the game that I want to play, and nobody else shows up for anything else. So, yeah, we get it. People are busy. Friday night's not the most convenient time. So I'm thinking maybe we'll just schedule things when they arise instead of trying to get... I mean, I'm around most Friday nights, and so are you, Brian, playing something anyway. Yep. So,
but whatever people are playing, I'll play. I don't care.
Yeah. All right, so... Game of the week, Hiatus again, but it is what it is. Does that work for you? I don't know.
Yeah, that's fine. And but the thing is, people will probably be playing games. So if you want to play a game Friday night, just jump into Discord.
Yeah.
And people will play games.
All right. Well, not the most exciting note to start the show off on. So I mentioned when we started the show here how we were on a tight time constraint due to China. And there was, you know, we don't do politics on this show, but I will say, reading the articles that I read this week about the new regulations going on in China in that encompass video game and screen time, it made me breathe a sigh of relief that I live in a semi-free country, because the Chinese government has put a 90-minute regulation on gaming for China for kids. It doesn't even say. It just says video games in general.
Younger than 18.
Younger than 18. So yeah,
they cannot play between 10 p.m. and 8 a.m.
Yep.
And they're limited to 90 minutes on weekdays and 3 hours on weekends and holidays. So lucky them. So that is the limit. So if you are in China, I don't know how this is going to affect all these companies making all their money off of China. Do you think they're actually going to follow this, though? That's the question.
Well, I don't know who... I mean, from what I know about the Chinese government, if they tell you to do something and they find out you're not doing it, I mean, there could be very serious consequences. I'm not making a joke of it, but I mean, they'll literally kill people. And I'm not saying they're going to kill you for playing a video game for 2 hours, but with their social score system that we've talked about in the past, I'm sure there will be some pretty serious ramifications on this. And... Yep. You know, the reason that they said this is that they blame, you know, they're saying students are just performing poorly. And now limiting somebody to 90 minutes of video games a day, I don't think will, I mean, I could tell you as an underperforming student in school, if my parents, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I'm going to be totally transparent. As an underperforming, specifically in middle school and high school, if my parents would have told me, okay, you can only play Xbox for an hour a night, I would have just found other hours to do other things that was not schoolwork. So the medium wouldn't have mattered, right? And so instead of sitting on Xbox for 4 hours, I would have sat on Xbox for an hour and then on my phone or the computer for 3 hours, right? I mean, so the same amount of work is still not getting done. And this is just... for video games. This is not for TV or phone use or anything else. This is strictly for video game use. And I just don't, I'm just speaking from personal experience. I don't see how this is going to help really at all for most people.
Okay. But it is, I understand what they're trying to do.
Of course. So
for instance, my dad growing up, for every hour that he could play baseball, he had to practice an hour on the piano.
Okay.
And my dad became a concert level pianist, and he got to the level where he could try out for semi-pro baseball. So that's the thing is, I think what they're trying to do is be like, okay, well, if you're not, you won't be playing video games, so you're going to go out and do something more productive with your time. For me, I couldn't play video games. They wouldn't let me have a console when I was in junior high. And you know what? So I set up bulletin board systems and set up servers and did stupid stuff. So now that turned. So it is possible that it's up to the parents, not to the government.
I think you just made my point though. So instead of playing the Sega Dreamcast, you were playing on the internet, right? So I'm not saying you didn't do schoolwork because of it, but you substituted the time that you would have, your friends did playing consoles. Instead, you were chatting with men on AOL chat rooms. I mean, am I wrong? Not all of it, but I mean, so you just substituted the time. What,
like in junior high, I was outside. I went outside and just, right. I went outside and played.
Just went outside. Yeah. Like most people just went outside. No, my point is
a place where you could.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you live in the middle of nowhere, here's my point. If you are an underperforming student, here's the thing, Brian, I know you, mm-hmm. you're not an underperforming. Well, I don't know you as a student. You didn't strike me as an underperforming student. I'm saying from somebody that a slacker, somebody that did not apply myself in school because I was lazy. This does not help me. Somebody that's already got a good work ethic, this doesn't hurt. This only hurts them, right? It doesn't change anything for me because
It comes down to the parents. The parents are the only ones who would be able to motivate you. The government's not going to. What are they going to do? Are they trying to strike fear in the parents to where they'll then act?
Yeah, probably. Or,
I mean, because it comes down to your parents saying, "Hey, get off the console, do your schoolwork, and then you can go do something else." You know, I mean, it comes to a parent saying that. If the government now said that, no one would listen here. I think they're looking at, they'll put fear into the parents to where the parents will get punished, and therefore the parents will enforce this law in their house.
But my point, okay, we both agree on the same thing, but mm-hmm. your, I don't know, my parents telling me, no, you can't play Xbox, you have to do schoolwork. I wouldn't do the schoolwork because I didn't want to. That's the point I'm trying to convey here. That you're dealing with
my
a big.
My parents are a little more strict than your parents.
Okay. So what if you didn't do your schoolwork? What would they have done? Would they have killed you?
No, they would have taken everything away.
Okay,
from me.
And that, but
they would
okay,
give me no ability to go do anything.
Okay, but you still wouldn't have
they
had
would have
to
taken
do
taken away my computer, okay, taken away my internet. Okay. I mean, they
totally agree.
Whatever it would take in to make me do
exactly. That's
do.
My point. Is it was your choice at the end of the day.
Yeah, if I wanted to.
Were they holding a gun to your head and saying, do the work? No, they were just threatening you with taking away your stuff. My point is, they're not banning everything. They're just saying 90 minutes of video game time. So the kids are going to go mm-hmm. go screw around for 3 or 4 other hours on other bullshit. That's my point. This is a very siloed issue.
I think they want them to be physical, though.
Physical in China? There's no people. Everybody lives in a high-rise apartments. These kids aren't going to go outside.
One thing that they're saying is, oh, we're having an outbreak of bad eyesight, and it's because of video games.
That's not true.
And screens.
I did a thesis on that in college.
I did a paper. Okay, but so one thing, though, for instance, the blue light in screens is very bad for your eyes.
It can be.
It can be, and so
it's more stimulating for your eyes. Like when you're trying to go to sleep, it's not helpful because it stimulates you.
Yeah, but also just focusing causes issues with your eyes over long periods of time. I think that they feel like they're going to fix this by getting kids off of screens.
But see,
their kids cannot take their eyes away from screens.
But you just made my point
in front of them.
You just made mm-hmm. my points from screens. That's the problem. So a 90-minute computer ban does not stop the phone ban or the TV ban. That's what I'm saying. This is not.
I think that this is the low-hanging fruit. They can say, hey, video games are poison. They control media. They control what comes in and out of web, you know, what they can get on the internet. They can control what TV there is able to be brought to them to a point, right? So, but I think they feel like they have very little control over video games.
Well, they do because they own all the companies. I mean, they have a lot of control over video games. But yeah. I see this like I see a lot of other things. This is a problem looking for a solution. And that's exactly what this is. I mean,
and they also have limited the amount of purchases that you can make with pretty much transactions, you know, the microtransactions. They're limited to
$57 a month.
Now $28 to $57 a month, depending on, and it goes with your age. So it goes up probably with your age. And that includes virtual weapons, clothes, pets, all those things that these companies are just throwing at China, saying buy this skin, buy this.
Well, here's
everything
the thing,
else.
Though.
That's something they can actually track.
Well, it is. Now, this seems like this is going to be worse for Chinese companies than it is for American companies.
I know a lot of our American companies are just trying to make money off of them.
Understand, but those American companies aren't the ones doing the importing of the games. Tencent's doing all that stuff. Is, So Tencent's going to lose out big on these transactions, which is directly owned by the Chinese government. So I find that to be very interesting.
It's going to come down to changing for the microtransaction, I guess the way that they do them right now. And what we've been seeing happen a lot in America lately is going to these lower kind of monthly fee, where if you're going to do, if you have $57 a month, they want to make sure that they get part of that $57.
Yeah. $11 a month for a battle pass or something.
Yeah. So I think that you'll start seeing more battle passes, which I think is better in the long run, and getting away from trying to gouge one person for thousands of dollars. Cause that's what they try to do, is get the few people that are willing to spend a lot of money, get as much as they can out of them. Well, legally they're not allowed to do that with the younger people anymore.
Yeah. I agree that there's definitely a problem, not just in China, but across the world. And this didn't just start. I grew up during it, and so did you in some respects, Brian. The constant distractions from schoolwork, whatever it may be, and this just seems like a pretty half-assed effort to try to solve a bigger problem. That's what's frustrating for me.
It's going to come down to getting people to go out and say, hey, you know, for your health, go out and go to the gym, or go out and play in a park, you know, throw a football around. Something like that. It's going to be a mindset change, not something they're just enforcing.
What I find so interesting about China is they have created, though, the technology environment there. Now, I've never been to China, but I've seen plenty of movies that depict China, and plenty of actual, you know, videos that were made in China. And it's all of the big cities in China look like the Big Apple, in terms of the billboards everywhere and the screens and flashing lights and signs. And it's just, they've created the Blade Runner-esque society, with everything being so high tech and screens everywhere, and everybody's looking at it. You look at pictures of a Chinese subway or tram system. Every single person's got headphones in. Every single person is looking at a phone. They have created I don't know who they is, but just they have created this environment of this constantly connected technology environment with all of the services that QQ offers, similar to what Google offers in the US. And now all of a sudden they're like, well, this one, video games are actually the problem. No. If your problem is people slacking off and not doing their job or not doing good at school, you have a greater technology problem. It isn't PUBG. PUBG is not the reason you're failing chemistry. It's because electronics in general. And I would make the argument without the electronics, you'd still probably be failing the class. You'd just piss away your time on something else. I'm speaking from experience. And it's just the truth.
One thing, kind of comparing China to, let's say, somewhere like South Korea or maybe Japan, there's a very different mindset. I think South Korea is becoming more kind of like what China is as far as getting distracted. But there used to be a very big emphasis on education. And you had very high expectations. So the point of it was actually overboard there. I mean, they school is all there is, and your job and everything else is all there is. I think here in the United States, we have a pretty good balance and that's part of the free market and capitalism, is if you want to have more, you know, put more effort into it. Well, in some of these other places, that's not how it works. They don't feel like they have any way out. In some places are based off like a caste system, and no matter how hard you work, you're going to be poor anyways. So, you know, what's the difference? Versus you could even look at South Korea. They've gone to the opposite, where money is just so important that it's hurting their society in another way. I think that they need to find a balance. I think we found it here in the United States.
Yeah. I don't know. Stuff like this has always irritated me. You know, take this picture for what it's worth. Let me see if I can get a larger version of this to come up. I mean, take this picture for what it's worth. And I mean, there's probably some staging involved in it. But here's a picture of some sort of Chinese train or subway. Every single person on that is looking at their phone. Every single person. Literally, there's not a person in this picture that is not looking at a phone. And there's a dozen people.
Yeah.
So the 90 minutes of video games is the solution to your problem? It's just always, this is always rubbing.
I don't think you can turn this around.
We don't need to get into this whole thing. I'm very passionate about this because I, I'm speaking from somebody that did not care about school at all. And knowing how my brain works, this would not solve my problem. There's got to be a different way to banning things and taking them away is not a motivation for a lot of people.
I think using pretty much social manipulation, right, would be a better way. I mean, they do it in movies. They do it in all kinds of things. They could make it to where just by marketing in a way, or look at, for instance, there's films that come out. They had the Stranger Things came out, and it had an 80s theme.
Yeah.
And now, and they were able, they put a lot of certain outfits and things in that show. And now all these girls are starting to dress in 80s clothes. And that is a way that they can, they have the ability through things like that to manipulate how people think and how they act on a daily basis, more than if they said, you know what, you can no longer wear a certain type of clothes, you have to wear this type of clothes. They could do the same thing with getting people out and kind of shaming them into being in better shape, or going out and making it to where, you know, you feel like you should go and be more active, whatever it is. That's how we tend to do it in the United States.
Well, I mean, you
not
just look
through laws.
And again, I'm no expert in all these things, but you look at like something like prohibition, and I know I'm not talking about the same extremes as what they're doing in China, but you, when people are,
compare that to the recent smoking, how people view smoking. So prohibition, they made a law. They said, no, you cannot do it. What happened? People started doing it more.
Yeah.
Smoking, on the other hand, they said, well, you can smoke, but you can't smoke in buildings. And they got people, and they've shamed people into not smoking over a long period of time.
Yeah.
They've changed the mentality about smoking,
well,
rather than saying smoking is illegal.
Well, they've also raised the price of cigarettes. Like from where I'm from, New York, it was like $12 or $13 a pack for cigarettes. Now, what's
yeah, they're
eight,
slowly
16,
over time,
12 cigarettes in a pack
people to stop smoking.
Yeah.
Through manipulation, social manipulation, and through economics.
Now we're vaping. I mean,
it's just, and they, the problem is people started vaping, and there was no social stigma with, because they said, oh, it's so bad for your lungs to smoke cigarettes and the smells. Well, vaping doesn't really smell.
Not at
all. They couldn't really, initially they didn't really prove that it had issues. And now all of a sudden you see, oh, it's so horrible. Five people have died from vaping in the past year. It's like, okay,
the vapors.
Five people have died from drinking water too. I mean, these things happen. So that they're now trying to figure out how they can say vaping is just as evil and just as bad as smoking cigarettes, so that they can prevent people from doing it. But of course weed is perfect. So, I mean, it's whatever, they'll say that smoking weed is great, yet smoking cigarettes is horrible. Of course, vaping is horrible too.
Yeah. I tried vaping. I'm not cool enough for it. So I gave that up. I had
you like, what's the Ethan Klein or whatever?
No, I didn't do it. No. I mean, I just, hang out with the Jewel a little while and see what's going on. It's just like, this just isn't me.
Yeah. You didn't try to do smoke rings and all that.
Yep. No, passed from that. I prefer smoking cigarettes anyway. So it's fun.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
Bad habit.
I mean, it's okay. I'm sure you have plenty of bad habits too. I mean, I'm not criticizing you.
No, but that's okay.
So it was, I'll tell you what, it was, it was very refreshing to read that article and not have to worry about that crap going on here. And in most of the Western world, it's not just a US thing.
They try little things here and there, but it's more of a, hey, we're going to, we're going to start regulating companies, and they never do it.
Yeah. So
it's too much money involved.
Yeah. So I thought that was rather interesting. So 90-minute ban. So we gotta make this show a lot shorter, Brian. We got to get this show down to 90 minutes for our large Chinese audience.
Well, speaking of China, so let's go ahead and talk a little bit about, you'd mentioned Tencent earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And they have joined forces with Improbable.
If
you remember, they are the ones who have made Spatial OS, which, if you're looking for a way to kind of kill the video game market in China, I mean, what's killed the video game market for anything that's touched Spatial OS up to this point? How many games have we seen die?
I played one game, Spatial OS. It was that one I played last week.
And that's the only game so far that we've really seen, I think, that has stayed around. Or, I mean, it's just started. So we'll see how that goes.
Hard to stay around when you just started.
I know, they're not even released yet. So we'll see what
happens.
Yep, scavengers. So what they're doing is, you know, probably hasn't done wonderfully here, but they're wanting to bring Spatial West to China. And as we've said, there's a lot of limitations to video game companies, technology companies entering into the market of China with all the regulations. You have to have an inside person pretty much to be able to pull things off. And Tencent has been that avenue for people to go around and get products into China. And they are a huge company. We've talked about it before. Tencent is just gigantic and they own tons of a lot of different companies. PH points out that Scavengers is owned by Improbable. So if that one fails, well, it's time to leave.
Rest but we'll peace. See.
And so what they're doing is they're going to be working with Tencent to get a developer program into China for this and have what they call Tencent Cloud. So they have Spatial OS, Tencent Cloud, and this is a way for them to be able to break into that market because they're not going to get Stadia. They're not going to get the same kind of things that we have here. We have companies that are starting to do things like this, but I don't think they're going to go through all the hoops and really worry about getting into China as much with those technologies. But you know, we've had Worlds Adrift failed, Mavericks failed. You know, there's a list of ones that have failed so far, and I don't know. We'll see if they actually able to pull it off. I think it's just an overly expensive technology that does not scale well as far as price wise.
I think it's, I agree with you. Sometimes we talk about technology that's ahead of its time and exists mm-hmm. before there's a need and a demand. I brought up something earlier, the Sega Dreamcast. That's a great yep. example of a piece of technology that, in my opinion, a lot of other people's opinions, was just too advanced for its time. It had a dial-up modem in it. It was just a little too early.
Ran Windows CE.
Just a little too early to the game. Enough people didn't have internet. It just didn't work. There yep. were other issues. Don't misconstrue that. But it seems like that's what Spatial OS is, right? They're saying, oh, you could have 100,000 players in a game. What game right now has 100,000 players? Is there any game that's struggling to have 100,000 players?
Yeah,
that's the thing. You're creating.
Well, look at. They Wildcard tried to do this, and their servers are sitting halfway empty on Atlas. They created a network that could support a huge amount of players, but those players aren't there. And so now they have all these servers that are sitting up and running. Well, with this, one issue that I think that this probably is kind of working around is Spatial OS up to this point relies on AWS, it relies on Azure, relies on various different technologies. They're not actually doing the server hosting. You're paying Spatial OS. Spatial OS is renting servers. You get to pick which ones you want to use. I assume that there might be some limitations to doing that inside of China. So that's possibly where they're going to be partnering a little bit and getting some servers in China, because I doubt they're going to be using AWS in China or Azure, yeah. But maybe they will. China has a lot of limitations where they need to be able to get access to the data centers. Data centers tend to not like setting up in China because the government has to have access to all your stuff. That's one of the laws that they have in that place.
Yeah. So, I just to reiterate it, I think Spatial OS is cool. I think there's a lot of promise with Spatial OS. I just do not think that there is a market of both users and users, aka players and developers, that need the technology right now.
Look at Stadia though. Stadia kind of does this. I think that other places are just going to come and do it better. I think these guys started, they saw that the technology is an up and coming thing. I think they tried to break into the market, but they haven't done it in a way that scales well enough and that games have actually picked up and tried. But you turn around and look at Stadia. Stadia is going to probably pick up a lot of big name titles that does a lot of the same things that Spatial OS does, as far as having servers on the back end that you could have AI all running in one, part of the cloud, and you can have maybe effects for weather effects and all these other things running on there. I think that these guys tried to be a little bit too flexible with it. They said, oh, you could run, you know, your AI on one engine and you could run, you know, all these other things on another engine. And I think they just didn't do it in a way that was easy enough and scaled enough where I think that other companies will come in and now say, oh yeah, that's a good idea. And they'll do it right. And those will be the ones that succeed.
Yeah,
I think they're now betting on China because they can customize there enough. There's enough because people haven't really picked it up and just try to cater to whatever China needs.
Yeah, I, again, well, so Spatial OS and Google's platform, Stadia, they're a little bit different, though. Spatial OS
but Google's platform has the similar capabilities.
But
they are allowing you to run things on their cloud service and to offload some of the, it doesn't have to run all in one engine.
So here's the big thing to note.
Or one instance.
Google service, Stadia, works for a wide gamut of player size games, right? It'll work for 50 player games. It'll work for presumably 100,000.
And you're not charged for the highest one.
Spatial OS does not make sense, in my opinion. And I mean, maybe this is more of a thing for you, but I think you'd agree with this. Spatial OS doesn't make sense for a 100 player game. The cost doesn't make sense because it's so expensive.
It doesn't scale. I mean, you'd have to shut down a server if you had something that was on the fly, doing instances or something. But if you have permanent servers, you have to have a server that's set. It doesn't scale up and down. You have to have a server that's set for your highest player count, and just like standard servers, and then that's running all the time, you know, even when you have a low player count. The problem is you're then having to pay AWS prices, which are way more than just having a server sitting in a data center somewhere. So it's just the expenses are higher. And they haven't set a way to where we're like, okay, your use is this. We will charge you for this at this time. Where I think Stadia will probably be more like that, or whatever other services come out with things. I think they will more scale to you get charged for your usage, which these guys I don't think are capable of doing right now. They don't own the data centers that this stuff's stored on.
Yeah. So I still think that, again, still think there's some possibility and there's some other things, you know, I'm hoping they can make it work, but I don't see the use case. I don't see the use case from the players or the developer side for Stadia, or excuse me, for Spatial OS at this point.
Yep.
I don't see if anybody, I see like a couple of fringe projects and that's it.
Yeah. And I think it's a big risk. So too many have failed that have tried to take this on. I think that any group that's trying to release a game is going to be very leery of jumping in on this.
Yeah. So there you go. So, that is, that's China. That's improbable video game bans, Tencent and China for the week. So there you go.
Well, let's talk. There's something that was announced for Epic. And this is going to be more kind of we're talking a little bit about video game development right now, but they have paired up with a company called there's a product called Quixel.
Okay.
And this is used. I mean, it's one of the main kind of like on the level of when you think of photo editing, Photoshop, like it's a top tier application, in the industry. There's this and then one other product that really compete with each other.
Is this photo editor?
No, I was just saying, as far as like when you associate photo editing, you think Photoshop. With this, when texturing and making assets, to texture the assets, Quixel is one of the top two.
Gotcha.
And so there's actually a video. If you could play the video, because
it's long. You want to play the whole thing?
I would play the whole thing because they talk about the merger and they kind of show some really cool things of how it works. I think it'll give you a good idea of what it looks like.
Okay, yeah, let me get that loaded up here. All right, this is Quixel.
Hi everyone, Teddy here. I have some exciting news to share with you today. First of all, I'm proud to say that we're joining forces with Epic Games for what is the next step to democratize high quality content and technology. For the past decade, we've traveled to every corner of the world to build megascans. And we have created tools that help artists focus on art. Our mission is to scan the world and to build an ecosystem that unlocks AAA level artistry for everyone. As part of Epic, not only can we greatly accelerate our mission, but also give back to you, our community, in ways we simply couldn't have done on our own. I'm beyond excited to announce that with the backing of Epic Games, we're immediately slashing the pricing of Megascans in half, giving you nearly twice as much content to download, and removing the resolution cap for everyone, regardless of what engine, DCC, or renderer you love and rely on. We're also giving you a full refund for your last subscription purchase this year when you upgrade to this new plan. You'll find all the details in the description. But that's not all. Epic is helping us make the upcoming 2020 versions of Bridge and Mixer free for everyone, with no subscription required and both fully featured. We're releasing these new free versions within a few weeks from now, as part of a massive update to both tools. But now, to the biggest announcement of them all. The Megascans library is now completely free for all Unreal Engine users. That means free, unlimited, instant access to all of Megascans through Bridge and Mixer, and a wealth of Megascans packs on the Unreal Marketplace. And just like for the new subscription plans, if you switch to this new free Unreal 4 Engine only plan, it will be fully refunded for your last subscription purchase this year. And lastly, I'm thrilled to finally be able to share with you the updates that are coming to the 2020 versions of Bridge and Mixer. Bridge 2020 brings you a massively improved browsing experience, designed to save you as much time as humanly possible, and to help inspire you creatively. Browsing has become much more visual, relevant, and fun. What's more, we've implemented an AI search feature that finds all the assets of any image that you feed it, essentially making environment planning much easier, whether you have a real-world reference or concept art. At last, Mixer 2020 now introduces 3D painting, smart materials, and so much more. Quickly paint and texture your custom assets, leveraging the entire Megascans library, PBR painting, and procedural controls. You can also take any Megascans asset and completely make it your own. Conforming the entire library to your own style is now fully possible. Create tileable surfaces with ease by mixing scan data, procedural elements, sculpting, and painting. Whether you need to create organic or hard surface textures, the powerful Smart Material system allows you to texture any 3D asset in no time. You can also create your own smart materials to completely unify the appearance of multiple, wildly differing assets. Here, we've conformed a few gray rocks to match a sandstone desert look. The new free Mixer and Bridge 2020 will be released later this year, so sit tight. We're extremely excited to hear what you think. When you marry the Megascans ecosystem with Unreal Engine 4, amazing synergies happen. Fire up the engine, get a jump start with the library, and quickly bring in your custom assets for the final touch. All for free. What you're seeing is just a glimpse into the potential we're giving to artists, and how they leverage Megascans and Unreal to create beautiful worlds. And lastly, I want to say thank you to you, our customers, our community. You've made this journey for us so much more meaningful, and your love, support, and passion has meant everything to us. And we couldn't be more excited to now become part of Epic, because now we can give back in ways that we never could have dreamt of before. So thank you very much, and see you next time.
All right, so interesting video. How much did Epic purchase them for?
That I am not sure. I haven't seen the price. I assume they paid quite a bit.
So
I'm looking to see if I just don't see them actually mentioning that in the announcement.
Well, they're not going to mention it. But okay. So without getting on a crazy crazy epic tangent. Mm-hmm. What I do really wonder what Epic's game plan is, because this is now another thing that they've purchased mm-hmm. for presumably a very large sum of money.
Yeah.
And they have slashed the prices, given all a bunch of users of the Unreal Engine free access to these tools and utilities.
Yep.
So is the end goal still to just get people to make a hit game using Unreal and then them to be able to collect the royalties on the top? Is that the goal?
I think that's it. I think they're trying to create a full ecosystem for making a game, because I think they're looking at each and every aspect of what, you know, what are the things that they're having to go outside of the engine to go get. This is one of the things that you had to go get a subscription, and there was tools that just you used externally that did really well. And they were just the tools. I think that this is just one of those things. This is one of the only things that you really had to go out and purchase a subscription for. And the other one would be probably Blender would be the next type of thing but Blender's open source.
They just gave a bunch of money to Blender.
They gave a bunch of money to them. That's the other product that you use externally that you then bring, you use mega scans on the asset that you created, and then you bring it into the engine. So I think they're creating the full pipeline, is how they would refer to it, of how do you create an asset, you texture it in Quixel, and then you bring it into the engine and use it in your product. I'm trying to think of what else they would really need to do other than, you know, purchasing 3DS or something silly like that, which they don't really need to do.
And they won't, because I don't think 3DS would sell. They might.
Well, it's the industry standard, but this is one where people that are getting into game development, if you want to have something that actually looks good, you have to use one of these products. You have to either use Substance or you have to use Quixel. Those are the two top ones that there are. There's plenty of people that do very good on Blender and making assets. They can do things that look just as good as using if they also use Quixel, they can use something that looks just as good as like 3ds Max or, you know, Maya.
There's got to be something else though, right? There's got to be
why,
more.
What do you mean? Why are they doing it?
Yeah. I mean, obviously the goal would be to make the ecosystem.
What about,
you're talking about shelling out.
Unity though? They're going to make it to where this works better. You know, the pricing is already way better now in Unreal because it's totally free, where if you use Unity, you're going to have to pay for that. It's just a little bit more of a reason to use Unreal rather than go with Unity.
So that's the goal.
Other than that, I think they're just trying to make it to where when you look at Unity and you look at Unreal, you're like, I'm going to go with Unreal. Look at all these cool things I got.
And obviously
Unity used to be the marketplace. It used to be the marketplace, had a bunch of stuff on there.
Still does.
And so, and now Unreal's marketplace is getting much better. They're giving away tons of things to get people to go in there, to build up a library to where they feel attached to that marketplace. And now with this, this would be another reason to say, well, okay, I can make a game on either one. I'll go with Unreal.
Yeah. So no, I mean, I guess they're trying to become the name. They're just trying to become the engine that people use. So it's worth millions of dollars for this and other tools and other programs that they mm-hmm. purchased recently.
They'll make it back.
I guess that's the plan, right?
Yeah.
Because what do they grab off the top if you make a successful game?
I think was it 4 or 5%?
I thought it was higher than that.
Let me look.
So I mean, the goal would be get somebody to come in like you or myself, build a game, have it be a hot success, and then they're able to scrape however many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars off the top.
Yeah, it's 5%.
5%? Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you sell 300,000 copies of a game or 500,000 copies of a game at $30 a piece, decent chunk of change for not doing a lot of work. Now, they are doing a lot of work, to be fair, on the engine, but on that individual project. I mean, so you sell 300.
If they can just make something that's attractive enough, more people will adopt it, and you'll just end up making more money for making, you know, for something you were going to be doing anyways.
So, I mean, you're talking about at 300,000 copies of a game, which is a lot of copies, but I'm saying 300,000 mm-hmm. copies of a game at $30 a pop is $9 million. 5% of that is almost $500,000 that they're going to get in royalty. The royalties. Yeah. Which that they're going to get in royalties for doing nothing for that individual project. Now they, again, they built the engine, they have the resources, but for that specific project, they did nothing. They just had the regular engine.
They're playing it smart. They're like, well, if we can get it to where tons of awesome games are released on our engine, we're going to make money.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to. That's why I keep saying things like Fortnite is main reason is to improve the engine. All these things, they keep on bringing money in by dumping more money into their engine and just making it an incredibly attractive engine to use. And it is becoming, I mean, it's not a stretch to say that they are definitely in competition with Unity. Most people, I think, are starting to pick Unity. People say it's easier. You'll have lots of smaller projects, maybe mobile games and things like that. But I think any major game is starting to lean towards Unreal. And you're starting to see AAA studios using Unreal more and more when they used to use more like private internal engines. You're seeing that kind of go to the wayside for a lot of them. And they're starting to release titles, big titles. They'll have ones that previous like three versions of it, you know, version, you know, whatever 1, 2, and 3 were released on one engine. And now the latest ones you're starting to see released on Unreal. And so that's a big commitment because it's difficult to, you risk having the game not feel the same when you dump a whole engine. But I think I've not really heard people complain about it. So I think they're able to replicate it in whatever they're going for in that game. You can replicate it because I haven't heard people on these games that come out saying it doesn't feel anything like the old one. Borderlands, that was released on Unreal, that previously it wasn't.
Yeah.
I think that Unreal is so flexible that a good studio can turn around and make a game feel like whatever game they were making before. And now Unreal gets a chunk of every single Borderlands sale.
Yeah.
So it works for them. And I think one thing that you'll see, I'm probably looking forward to is if they can come up with a way like a character creator. Mixamo was a character creator of Fuse. They got purchased by Adobe. Adobe then just pretty much shelved the technology and actually took away a lot of functionality. And so I saw a lot of people in comments saying, thank goodness Adobe didn't buy Quixel. But I think you're going to start seeing, I think you'll start seeing that where maybe they'll go towards character creation or rigging a character. Things that right now, rigging a character, which is when you put the bones, the virtual bones in a character so you can move them around and animate them, very much more difficult in Unreal than it is in Unity. I think they're going to start taking pieces of the engine and making them more simple by smart purchases or something. But right now there's no company that's made a good solution to it. So there's no company for them to purchase. And I think that they're just trying to figure out how, like, Quixel made sense. There's two companies that did it right. This is one of them. Buy them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems to me as an outsider that they're positioning themselves to be the Google of game development and working on games and everything that's associated with that. Yeah, I mean, they're trying to become the Google, the YouTube, or the, you know, the Facebook.
The Photoshop. I mean, the Photoshop, you know, that's when you think of photo editing, everybody thinks Photoshop. They don't think of Microsoft Paint.
You don't think, what about
anything else?
What about Corel Draw? You don't think of that?
Yeah, it used to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that became the standard over time. It just did so much better than everyone else. I think that that's what GIMP. Epic is going for. GIMP. Yeah, I mean,
if you hate yourself, GIMP or Paint.net.
But that's the thing is when you think of photo editing, you don't think of GIMP. Why? Because it just doesn't work as well, right? Quixel, on the other hand, is one of the ones where it works perfect. And then there's other things you can try to do that are not as good. But if you really want to do it, just like you go and edit in Photoshop, you'll edit in Quixel or you know, Substance.
There you go. All right. Well, cool. I'm looking forward to continuing the watching Epic. And again, say what you want about Epic and the Evil Empire and all this other bullshit. At the end of the day, you're looking at, for a lot of people, making video game development and even the idea of making a video game very obtainable, very realistic. If I decided today that I really wanted to make a video game, if I really wanted to, not just say I wanted to, I could. Probably at very low, if not completely free, with Unreal Engine. And Unity's not, I'm not saying Unity's not the same way. Plenty of free things, and Unity's, the little bit I play with Unity, it's awesome. But it's super, Epic is making it with Unreal so obtainable that, I mean, it's almost a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And Unity, I mean, I don't know how much you've played with Unity, Brian. I've played with it a little bit. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, it's amazing that you can literally make a video. Any jackass can make a video game. I mean, it's crazy. With enough time and enough effort, it's not unobtainable.
Yeah, if you're willing to put the time in and kind of work through things, anyone can make a video game. And it just depends. I mean, people look and they say, "Oh, I want to make," and they'll pick some AAA studio game. Start out realistic. You can make something that will resemble a video game. How about that?
Yeah.
It will do things that video games do.
That's my point.
It won't be perfect.
No, I mean, like, the little bit I played around with Unreal, like, I loaded some assets in. I made a guy walk. When he interacted with something, it changed what the asset did. I mean, that was cool.
Yeah.
I'm no hotshot programmer, but it was neat to be like, hey, I made this little guy off assets I stole off the internet and made him move and interact with a controller. And then he went over to a little fireplace and pressed A and it turned on. It was neat.
Yep. Yeah. And so that's the thing, is they're trying to make it easy as possible. And things like this, because texturing, just as an example, texturing without Quixlr Substance is very difficult. These tools make it to where you can plug it in. And you saw in that video, he was just like, "Oh, I want to have a wet effect on the top. First of all, I want to make it look like rusted metal or, you know, some kind of a worn paint." And he just, you know, paints over the top of the 3D asset and it looks very realistic, right? Yeah. And then he's like, "All right, I want to make a little bit of a wet effect." And it instantly able to do it.
Big fan of the wet effect. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so, but doing that without these tools is incredibly difficult.
Yeah. Okay. Here's an example and we got to move on. But here's an example that I can relate to. Minecraft, right? You can build your own landscape in Minecraft by building blocks. But there are tools like, there's like a Minecraft world editor that you go through. It's like Voxel or something like that. Yeah. And you go through.
The Voxel is the technology that look around.
Well, yeah, I think that's what it's called, though. It might be called that. and you go through and you can sculpt the landscape in a very large scale. Now, again, you could do this stuff by hand if you wanted to in creative mode, or you can take this editor and do this very broad editing changing of the game. And that's kind of what you described, is you could go into Blender and do all this stuff, but it would take so much freaking time.
You could try even using Photoshop and try doing all these things and you will not have the same effect that this has.
Yeah.
It just would take you so long to get to the same place.
Yeah. Well, good for Epic and good for the enthusiasts that are making this stuff happen. Yeah, absolutely. We've got some other gaming news that I think we can get back to. You want to look at some survival news and see what's going on across the net. You mentioned earlier Payday 2 has got an update. Yes. What are they working on? We haven't heard from them in quite a while.
That's the thing, is there hasn't been any updates for quite some time. And so all of a sudden, Overkill, I think they got purchased or
they
something.
Did.
Something happened with Overkill. And so now they're looking at, well, what were our successful products? Payday 2 was a very successful product for them.
Very much so.
And they put out a huge amount of updates for this. They put out in a new update system, an outfit system. And so you can go through and select masks and outfits and everything else in the inventory. They improved the UI. They added a number of outfits. They added a community safe, and it contained 16 new weapon skins that they actually got from the Steam marketplace, so from the Steam workshops, that you can use those. They have the Border Crossing Heist DLC, the Taylor Pack 1 DLC, and the Cartel Optics Mod Pack DLC. And of course, they want you to purchase these things, but they did put out, I mean, this is the first update they've done for a while. PH points out in 2022, they're going to be coming out with Payday 3. So I think they're looking at how can we fund ourselves. Payday 2 itself is only $10. And the last game that they tried to put out, The Walking Dead, did not do, Overkill's The Walking Dead did not do well.
Shocker.
And so I think they're like, okay, well, a lot of people liked Payday 2. Let's put out some content for that and see if we can make some money. So that's what they're doing. And this is, I don't know the last time, but it's been quite a while. The game came out in 2013, but it's been quite a while since they've put out content for it. The prices, for example, $6.99 for the Border Crossing Heist, $2.99 for the Taylor Pack, the Optics Mod, that's $2.99. Just so that's kind of the price range that you're looking at. But they have a lot of different DLCs for masks and skins and different looks inside of the game.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm a big fan of the Payday series. There's some good games there. Speaking of updates, Dead by Daylight has got a hot fix here, and this is hot fix number 3.3.2. And there's a couple things in here, some bug fixes. We talked about the big update last week. This is a fix for that. Fixed an issue that caused players to not lose pips when disconnecting from a match by accepting an invite into a private lobby. Pips are like the level up system. You pip or de-pip based on how you performed in a game. Fixed an issue that made it impossible to gain progress on Rite of the Last Breath daily ritual, so a specific ritual. Fixed an issue that could cause a crash when in the collections tab of the archive menu. Fixed a crash that would be caused when entering the archives. Fixed an issue that caused level 4 of the tomb to appear when opening the tomb if level 1 was fully complete. Fixed an issue that caused survivor shadow models to appear in front of bubble indicators. Fixed an issue that caused some auras not to appear correctly when viewed with the Plunderer's Instinct perk. Please note this is still an issue with toolboxes. They're working on a fix. Fix an issue that made it impossible to cleanse a tome on a specific tile in the family residence map. Fixed a level of detail issue on a couple of the shack buildings. fixed an issue that allowed survivors in custom games to see the killer they are playing against while the players were connecting. That's a huge issue that they fixed. Fixed an issue that could cause the host of custom games to crash when losing connection while loading into a match. Fixed an issue that could cause a crash when the host of a custom match reached the tally screen. And then finally, fixed an issue that caused the back option to become grayed out in a public lobby, reading up and opening / closing a loadout menu. So those are grayed out. And then a couple of issues for Steam. Some of the abilities were causing high pings on dedicated servers. And then there were some issues on the Windows Store as well with the Oryx cells and some other things. So, pretty standard update for them. As I was reading, very specific bug fixes. But that's kind of what you want, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing is with these, when they put out, how long they put out some new content here in the last month or two.
Yeah.
And some of it, like the Stranger Things one, yep, had some pretty unique things in it. I'm sure a lot of these bugs kind of pop up, and some of them have been longstanding bugs, but I'm sure they get things that pop up because they are changing how the game actually functions a little bit. It's not just a new reskin of something.
Yeah, big time.
And they add actual functionality. So very good.
Yeah, I had a good time. Good time playing it over game night. I hadn't played the game since COD came out. I hadn't played it at all. It was refreshing to play. So good game. Highly recommend.
One thing I wanted to mention, so Elite Dangerous, we haven't played that in a while, but there was a there's an interesting thing. They've put a lot of Easter eggs in that game.
Yes.
And I find it interesting because people go and just try to discover they go all around the universe trying to find things. And once in a while, they'll find something that was not ever seen before. And these developers take the time to put things in this world that possibly, it's possible that things will never be found, right? But this is the first time that there was these ancient ships that are kind of floating around in space. And this one was full of people. So that it has something to do with the story, I'm sure, or maybe they're kind of rolling out, you know, some extra things into the game. But this one, some streamer came across this, to where he came across the distress signal. And usually you find ships and there's no people in them. Or, you know, you find things and there's no actual people. And this is the first time that they actually have something in there. So just figured I'd mention it for those that are playing. Maybe you can go around and try to find some of these. But this one had a story, you know, where they're talking about colonies. And I wonder if this is going to be more towards having maybe places on planets where you can go and walk around with other people. This might be an indicator of a direction they're going. So you'll have to keep an eye on it. Just see what happens.
There's a couple of VODs here, but you don't see any of the people. It must tell you.
No, it's just telling you. Like you're just it's saying that we're in here. So that's what I'm saying. It's kind of pointing towards a story arc that they're going for of maybe having some sort of a established base somewhere that will have people. That's what I'm thinking it's moving towards.
Gotcha.
Because they've never indicated that before. They never indicated that there's actually people going anywhere.
Yeah. Neat. So,
that's Elite Dangerous.
Man, imagine being the developer that like builds this thing into the game like years ago, years and years ago.
And no one ever bothers to notice.
You can't tell anybody because the second you tell somebody, like then they'll know. You know, then once one guy knows, then it's not cool. And then you just have to wait for some... I showed the screens of some random guy on Twitch with googly eyes on his Oculus Rift to find it. I mean, it's just, it's gotta be just super cool as a developer.
Yeah. They're like, oh, they finally found it.
Yeah.
So, and how many things do you think they have listed?
Oh, there's things here. I mean, it's like, what's going on?
But it makes you wonder what kind of a list of things they have. They're like, oh, there's this they haven't found. There's this they haven't found. It's gotta be in there.
Oh yeah. It's definitely in there for sure.
A game that recently came out with an update was We Happy Few. There's a video for this. So this is a pretty big update. And I, once again, these guys, I think you're kind of seeing a story arc with it as well. Because it seemed very open-ended the first, before they started putting an actual story into it. I mean, you remember, you played the first beginning of the level and then it just opened up into a big world that you're like, okay, now what? Well, they redid all that. They made it to where there was a story that you're following. And now this is the We All Fall Down is what this trailer is, and that's the latest update. And you can see it's definitely changing. The story is changing, and I think you'll find this interesting.
Doodlebug, to what do I owe the pleasure?
People are eating charcoal, and there's a plague in the village.
I swear I am this close to a permanent solution.
There's no food coming over the bridge, and we're not growing any.
But for God's sake, go back on your joy.
We have a duty.
Doing your duty. Duty's not always pretty. You don't always get a bright, shiny medal.
Someone has to save them.
God. You all have to stop. You have to stop taking your joy. I'm afraid we've come to the end of our time.
That's a pretty cool update trailer. Is the ship sale on this though? This game is still $60. Still,
I know the price is still max price. This would be a good one for console. I mean, it's the kind of game that
it's
you play
on
the console.
It's on Xbox and PlayStation.
That's what I'm saying. So I would assume that a lot of people are playing it on there because it looks good. It's kind of a story that you play. But I think that, I don't know, it's a fun game now. I think the problem is that they put it out and it went for so long with just being an open world sandbox that didn't really have anything to do.
Yeah.
And now it's a game that if you just want to go through and play through a cool story, but I think it's one that it would be worth picking up as they kind of finish the story, which it sounds like, I mean, looking at that trailer, it looks like they're getting to the end of the story.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, everybody is trying to get off the joy. They're realizing the joy is bad. Where in the beginning, you were the only person who really realized that joy is bad.
Yeah.
So
what I find interesting. So this game has been out for over a year. It came out August 10th of 2018. It is not very often that you see a $60 title come out and stay $60 for a year and a half, which is kind of where we are with this. Especially now, certain games do that. Call of Duties will do that, which is very typical, which is always stupid. But very few other games do you see hold their price up like that. Even Red Dead Redemption isn't $60.
Had it on sale
many a times. I don't even know if it's six. I don't even know if it's $60 right now.
Do you think they're really trying
to?
I bet you they're going to put out their content and then probably drop the price so that people jump into the game and really start playing it once the content is there.
I mean, Red Dead Redemption is $40.
Finished.
Yeah. Which came out the exact same time. It came out right August of 2018.
But Red Dead is for story wise is done. And I think that these guys have realized that it's not done. And I don't think they're really pushing to make a ton of their sales because they realize people will not wait. I mean, they'll play it for a while. And if they finish all the content, they're not going to come back and continue when updates come out.
I just have a real problem with $60. I have a problem with the game being $60 a year later.
Years, yeah.
And them still not adding. I mean, it's not done. It's still not done.
Yeah. But it's a very different game than what they originally intended, I think.
Agreed.
I think it's become the game that I thought it was going to be based on the trailer.
Yeah, but even based on the original trailer, I didn't think it was ever a $60 game.
Yeah. I just don't feel like they're really in a push to make sales. I think that they will be later when they feel like it's a polished product. I think they still treat it like they're an alpha, which they are.
Well, if they're an alpha, their game shouldn't be $60. I mean, that's kind of
Well,
the
I think they came out
goes.
Of alpha, but they're putting out content and things. It's just really, it's like they're an alpha still.
Yeah. I don't know. Was the game cheaper? I think, was it only $30 when it first came out? Or was it always 60?
No, I don't think it was 30, but
maybe it was 45.
I don't remember when it sale. I think I paid full price for it.
That's not typical. It's just, it's been weird. I'm not opposed to the game. I just, when I look at this, we've followed it literally from E3 2017, 2016, whenever it first got shown. It has not changed the price. It's been exactly the same.
Head Neophyte, he's saying that his buddy backed it on Kickstarter, and that they basically redacted the game and offered refunds because the end game was way off from what was promised. And so I think that that's where originally, I think he's saying that originally when it was released, it was so far off from what they promised on Kickstarter, but I think that now they've finally released a game that matches more up with what it was. Kind of like what No Man's Sky is pointing out, kind of like No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky did not initially release and be the game that it was promised to be, but I think they've gotten to the point and maybe are starting to surpass the point of what people were thinking it was going to be day one.
You know what's weird?
That doesn't always fix it.
So I just went on Amazon and looked for this game. We Happy Few is $14 on the PlayStation and $22 on the Xbox. The We Happy Few Deluxe Edition on the Xbox One is $22.90 brand new from a video game seller that is being fulfilled by Amazon. So it's in stock. This isn't some like shady side seller.
Yeah.
So it's $22 on Xbox, $14 on PlayStation, and $59.99 on PC.
I don't think they care about selling to the PC. I think that this is a console game.
Stone cold retarded. That makes absolutely no sense. I can understand the whole like physical copy is 59. I can understand the whole disc copy is cheaper than the physical because they're trying to get rid of the disc copies. But when you're looking at a $40+ price difference on Xbox versus console, that doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't. It doesn't make any sense.
I could get this game here. Ignored the PC.
I can get this game here tomorrow, or the next day for $22.
Yep. PC's probably such a small sliver of their market now. They probably could care less. I mean, it's not worth their time. Plus, if they have a ton of PC players, they have to worry about all the bugs of PC. It's probably easier for them just to do console stuff.
They should get rid of it.
Fold it for PC.
Might as well.
Yeah, I mean, if they're not going
to
support it.
Well, that's kind of my fault. This is a big old middle finger to the PC community, which is, in most cases, a lot more loyal than console and is a lot more willing to deal with BS than console.
Yeah.
I don't know how they can sell this game for. I don't know how this game is so cheap on Amazon for the consoles. I've never seen this much of a disparity in price. I've seen, you know, $45, $50.
They set the price on Steam, and that's the only avenue for getting it.
No, they sell it on their website.
Problem with having,
CompulsionGames.com. Yeah, but they're selling it. Let's see. Can I buy it here? CompulsionGames.com.
Are they selling it for the full price?
Official site. WeHappyFewGame.com. Let's see if I can buy it. Order now. I can order the standard edition for PC. Select a country. I'm in the United States. Select a retailer. Oh, Jesus Christ. Steam. It just brings me to a link to Steam. If I click Best Buy or GameStop, I can get it for the PS4 for how much? $20. So, yes. So it's a $40 price.
To get it through PC, though, they force you through Steam.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so.
They could make the price on Steam whatever they wanted. That's what's weird.
I know. I don't think they really care. I think they just don't want to encourage PC sales.
Hold on. Let me see. How much is it on Humble? Because they've got it on the Humble Marketplace. It's $60 on Humble.
Yeah.
And it's available. I believe it's available DRM free. Because it says Steam and Windows.
So yeah, they probably platform. Have an executable you can run.
Yeah, platform. Steam, Windows. Or maybe it's saying Steam, the Windows version of Steam. No. We Happy Few provided via Steam for Windows. A Steam account is required.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're using their DRM.
That's just weird though, isn't it?
I just don't think they care. I think that they don't. It's just so much easier for them to support console. They know all the hardware. They don't have to deal with all the stupid bugs. There was a bunch of issues with Red Dead Redemption 2 on PC because there's just so many variables that they don't have to think about when they deal with PS4 or Xbox.
Big old middle finger to the PC community. Pass.
Pass. Well, we're finicky.
I mean, sell me the game for nothing then. I mean, who cares?
Then they'd have to support your nothing.
They're supporting it anyway. If I give them $60, they'll support it. That's the point. It's not like they're not doing anything. You own the game. They're supporting you.
Yeah, they know I'm not going to launch it though.
Doesn't matter. They're supporting. That's the thing that makes no sense here. Is either way, they're keeping it supported and up to date. They're doing updates on Steam.
Yeah.
But they're selling it for $60. It makes no sense.
I think they'd rather have people go to console though. I think they want to have the majority of people on console because this is the kind of game that plays better to that.
Yeah. Retarded, if you ask me.
It's not a big open world game with multiplayer and all this. It's a playthrough, sit on your couch, relax, play the game.
Yeah. Well, maybe in another life.
Yeah. It was a fun game. It's the kind that you play when you're going to bed or, you know, you're sitting on the couch or whatever.
Gadlaw says he'll certainly pick it up when it's on his Humble Bundle. It'll probably be in a monthly or some or the new Humble thing at some point.
I bet you they'll probably throw it in there at some point.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we're about an hour in. Want to do a game giveaway. I do want to thank a couple of individuals before we get to that, including Gadlaw, who hit us up with a resubscription here after last week's program. And then our buddy Governor, who is an H1Z1 friend. We played H1Z1 with Governor, who hit us up with a resubscription as well here on Twitch. Thanks to both of those guys and everybody else that supports us through either our Twitch channel, our Humble Bundle affiliate, Amazon Prime, or directly through Streamlabs with bits or donations or whatever through Twitch. We really do appreciate it. Help support the program and help support our ongoing adventures across the world with Infection Podcast.
Yep. Yes. Very good. All right. So if you put exclamation point giveaway in chat, ooh, and it's 60 points, which means you've been watching for an hour, I'm going to be giving away a copy of 60 Parsecs. And this one is a adventure survival strategy simulation indie game. It's got very positive ratings, came out here about a year ago. It's $14.99, about $15. Has a nice art style to it. And so, I don't know. So similar games that you've played, No Man's Sky. I just think because it's a space game that they're saying it's No Man's Sky. I don't think it's actually like No Man's Sky, but it's got some cool cartoon art. Should be fun. Exclamation point giveaway. And we'll do that before the end of the show.
Absolutely. And if you're not, well, you should be here joining us live as we are every Tuesday around 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Mountain Time, 6 p.m. Central for... Right? Is that right? Yeah.
What time is it in Australia?
Who knows? It's like Thursday or something. I have no idea. For Infection, we're here live. We stream on Twitch, Mixer, and on YouTube. And then, of course, you can get all the VOD on YouTube after the fact, and then our audio version on any podcast app. So, yeah, if you use a podcast app and maybe you listen to us on Twitch, but you listen to podcasts separately, make sure we're on your podcast app. Just search and make sure we're there. If we're not, let us know.
Bingo, yeah. Boom, shaka,
that happens every once in a while. I want to thank our buddy Ross, who said, Nick gave me a banana to keep in my pocket to remember him, hitting us up with the 13-month resubscription.
Thanks, Ross.
Thank you, Ross. I'm glad you've taken good care of my banana. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, let's talk about Stadia. They did announce the games that they're going to launch with. And so
now it's out now for the people that did the early, like the first pre-order, like the OGs, right? They already have access to it, right?
Yes. So, November 19th is when it's available. It goes live November 19th.
Oh, okay. I thought they already had it.
No, they just announced the games. November 19th is when I think they officially are available.
Wasn't it like 4 weeks ago people got access to it? Something sold out 4 weeks ago, like the early kit with that came with the Google
Home.
But
I don't think the games are on there yet. Oh. I think they released the games here on the 19th.
Gotcha.
So one thing, just to go over some of these games, there's an official site that you can check out, and Assassin's Creed Odyssey, we knew that one was going to be on there. Destiny 2, the collection, will be on there. Guilt, some cartoon game I've not seen. Just Dance 2020.
Oh, yeah, baby. Bring it on.
Yeah. Kine, Mortal Kombat 11, Red Dead Redemption 2 will be on there. Thumper, Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider on the Definitive Edition. So the nice ones with all the DLCs and everything. Samurai Showdown will be on that. And then they'll be adding a little bit later some additional titles. So I think it's 14 more will be added by the end of 2019. So here in the next month and a half, they'll be adding some more. Attack on Titan 2.
That's
Borderlands 3. Darksiders Genesis. Dragon Ball. Xenoverse 2. Farming Simulator 19, which I know you love. Final Fantasy 20, or is it 15?
Yes.
That's where they're at now.
28.
Final
Fantasy 89. Football
Manager 2020. And then also they'll be doing Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint, Grid, Metro Exodus, NBA 2020.
2K2020. That's a very specific thing. It's NBA 2K2020. 2K spends a lot of money to make sure people say
2K20.
That.
2K20. All right.
Thank you.
Rage 2, Trial Rising, which is a motocross game. Wolfenstein Youngblood, and then whoever it was, whatever else would be. They're talking about they're going to be doing Doom Eternal, Watch Dogs Legions, Gods and Monsters, and Cyberpunk 2077 should be on there as well once they release.
All right. So cool, right? Cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is not an enticing game catalog. Okay.
How much is it, though?
Okay, doesn't matter. Hear me out. Most people have already played Red Dead Redemption 2. Let's be honest. That game, people that wanted to play that game already played it. People that are going to play it because of Stadia are not going to play through the entire game. Let's just be honest. I don't think a majority of them will. Red Dead Redemption 2 people have already played the game. They're past that.
Yeah.
Looking at a couple of these other games, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, it's got its hardcore fans. People are not going to play Destiny on Stadia. They've already owned it. It's freaking free. It's free. It's already free.
Yeah.
So nobody's going to be playing Destiny 2. Guilt, again, it's probably a short story game. Fine. Just Dance, nobody's playing Just Dance. Kanai, again, another probably short story game.
Supposedly they're going to have like 40 more titles. I think there's like 40 games that are supposed to be on there at some point.
Numbers are great, but it's in my opinion, with gaming, it's quality over quantity, because PH brings up a good point. 99% of these games are already on services like Xbox Game Pass or on PlayStation's. Is it called PS Now?
PS Now.
So these games are already out there. Mortal Kombat 11, again, Red Dead Redemption, we've already talked about. Thumper, no idea. The Tomb Raider games, these are all old. These aren't new games. These games have already been out.
Yeah.
So
do you think they're going to focus on some of the upcoming?
They have to. I mean, really, you're going to buy Stadia for Football Manager 2020 or Farming Simulator 2019?
What about for the person who doesn't have a good enough PC to play these games? This makes
they already have a console.
Them.
They already have a console. They already have a console. Yeah. They do. That's where this doesn't make sense.
The thing is, what's the price range on this? The monthly thing. So Stadia,
it's $20 a month or something like that. And then you have to buy these. These aren't free. Yeah.
So this is just giving you the ability to buy these games.
Correct.
Yeah, I forgot about that. So it's $10 a month, right?
It's $10 a month plus you have to buy the game.
But you don't need any crazy hardware.
But people already have it. This is going to be great come next gen consoles. Right now, it doesn't make sense. Brian, you can go. Thanksgiving is coming up. Black Friday is coming. Mm-hmm. You will literally be able to go to Target, Walmart, or any other big box retailer in the US and get an Xbox or PlayStation for less than $200 with a game. With a game. Yeah. There is not a chance in hell that this is a better offer than that. It just doesn't exist.
But what if the hardware, let's say if the hardware is cheaper and it feels like a full console game, but you get the next gen console, as you said, then it makes sense.
Maybe when we get to the next gen consoles, it will. But right now it doesn't make sense. This generation of consoles is already mature to the point where it is,
dirt cheap to buy them.
You want to talk about buying, it's dirt cheap to buy them new. I mean, if I was to go on, like I'm going to go on Facebook right now. And go to Facebook Marketplace, which, by the way, if you're still using Craigslist, switch over to Facebook Marketplace. 10 times better. If I search for Xbox One near me, let's see what comes up.
One thing is the Stadia subscription only contains one game, Destiny 2.
Yeah, because it's the only free game.
As you said, it's free everywhere else.
So here's a used Xbox One white, 500 gigabyte for $130. Here's an Xbox One, almost brand new, barely used, comes with NBA. For $140.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
But this will be next gen when a whole new set of hardware, they can, without you going out and buying that, and you can use this, you can get those graphics and you can get that game, however it is. It makes sense later, but it's good that they get out in front of it early.
Here's a PS4 near me with Batman Limited Edition, 1 terabyte hard drive, Overwatch, God of War, and Justice 2 Legendary Edition, and Mortal Kombat 11 Premium Edition, 2 controllers and a charger for $250.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, I don't think it makes sense.
Right now,
it doesn't make sense. Now, again,
but if they can get a decent collection of games on there and then start picking up the newest ones that are only going to be, that are going to need the next generation Xbox or PS4 or PS5 to run, or a high-end PC, and you can get that without that hardware for $10 a month, you know, just for the ability rather than buying. It's like renting a computer.
Which always is bad for the consumer. Most of the time. Renting is never typically good. Most of the time. You know what, Stadia?
But I'm saying it's equivalent to that. Just like Netflix. I mean, Netflix is good to a point. It's hurt some places, but it's good for the industry.
Yeah. You know what Stadia reminds me of? It reminds me of these streaming TV plans like Hulu, PlayStation View, which is shutting down, Sling. They've got, there's 55 channels, but you want to watch three channels on it.
Yeah.
Right? Like you go to Sling TV and it's like, holy wow, 55 channels for $35 a month. That's not a bad deal at all. And then you look at it and you're like, I don't want the Hallmark channel or Entertainment channel or Food Network, or I don't want any of this shit. I want like ESPN, CBS Sports Network, and Fox Sports. That's all I want. Yeah. So it's like you look at this lineup of channels. You go, oh, this is a decent deal. Then you realize you don't want to watch any of it. And I feel like that's the exact same thing with Stadia. You look at this and go, okay, great, 40 games. How many of them do you want to play? Four. And then you got to buy them. I don't think it makes sense. Right now, it doesn't make sense. Will it make sense in the next generation? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But right now, it reminds me so much of these of streaming TV packages. I don't know if you've done any of that. I have thought about this. So I did 3 months of Hulu Live TV. It was a decent price. But then I realized I didn't watch anything because I didn't want TNT or AMC or TBS or USA or TLC. I don't want any of those channels. History Channel, Lifetime. I'm reading to Fuse, TNT, Travel Network, A&E.
It's going to come down.
Who wants this crap?
It's going to come down to specific titles that just once the next gen comes out, that people haven't purchased the new hardware yet. And this is cheap. And the parents will say, all right, you want to play this? Go ahead.
Yeah. I just.
Or you can play it on your tablet. With a little controller.
I wonder if this doesn't succeed, what is Google going to do? Because unlike a lot of other services, they can't just shut, they can't just shut this down. I mean, you have people that have invested hundreds of dollars. Because
you have developers that are using this as a platform.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They have had to have made at least, call it a 5 to 10 year investment into this program. This is not a try it out for a year and shut it down. I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, they tend to let things look at some of the technologies they do keep on. Google Voice, I mean,
a feed burner,
not making a bunch of feed burner. They just have them continuing on.
But the differences between feed burner and Google Voice is their cost to operate is very low. This cost to operate Stadia is going to be outrageous. You saw the setup that they had at PAX.
They've got really good data centers and everything.
But they do, but you have to put GPUs in these computers. You're talking about investing millions of dollars.
But if the users are low, they don't have to have a ton of boxes.
True, but in the same vein, you get your $10 trickle and then your one-time payments, which by the way is not going 100% to Google. I mean, there's a split. So you buy $60 Red Dead Redemption from Stadia. Google ain't getting $60. I mean, they'll take their 15% or whatever. The rest of it's going to Rockstar.
But knowing Google, though, I don't think this is the end use of the technology.
Probably not.
I think that this is their playing ground, just like Hangouts was and all these other things, for business uses. I think they want to get it to where that you can do drafting and CAD and do high-end things that kind of like the old days of having a terminal PC that's all the processing is happening on the back end. I think this is them getting into that market and testing the technology and pushing it and using us as guinea pigs.
Well, I have like a problem
with most
of
their other technologies.
I have a huge problem with that because unlike Google Hangouts and unlike all these other services, you're telling me I'm going to go into Google and invest $400 into games. That's only a couple $60 titles plus the monthly subscription fee, and then they're going to shut it down on me.
They'll probably keep it going for a while, but eventually that game won't matter anymore, and it'll be just something they have on some server somewhere.
I just this.
Eventually, I think they will, unless it really takes off. Yeah, they will.
I don't. Probably and wind it won't. Or it's roll not. Off into it's not else. Really going to take off. There's. It just. It doesn't make sense. It's not obtainable for enough people. It doesn't make sense. I don't think. It's just not. It's not going to do it yet.
This is the issue with technologies like this, though, is when your subscription, when they quit offering a subscription, yet you purchase things, what happens?
Yes, that's a huge concern.
With computers, you can go and you can run a copy of it on your local computer going into the future. But with these subscription services, unless they're giving you something to where you don't truly own it, they're going to have a problem in the future when they say, oh, we're not no longer offering this. But you know what? I purchased $60 for this game and I paid $40 for this game. And, you know, you better give it to me.
Yeah.
It's not a license. You know, it is a license, but I own this. And you're saying I can't have access to it anymore.
Yeah.
So that'll be the issue I think they run into that hasn't been an issue up to this point.
Yeah, I'm interested. Again, I think it's super cool. We've talked about it in the past. I think the technology is super awesome. I'm just me, and I'm not the best use case maybe for gaming, but I look at this and I see a bunch of names and a bunch of titles, and there's not a single game on this list I want to play that I haven't already played.
Yeah.
There's some
big titles on
there. Yeah, Red Dead Redemption 2 is the big title, and everybody's already played that. It's been out for over a year. Where's their launch title? Cyberpunk. But again, Cyberpunk's going to be on Steam, on Epic, on PlayStation, on Xbox. Why in the hell would I buy it on Stadia?
On high settings.
Who cares?
Some people will care.
I guess.
If they get on PC equivalent, or if they don't have a console, which must, you are limited. So there are some things when you look at a console versus a PC, the graphics aren't as good on a console generally.
Yeah.
They tone all those things down. This will remove that limit. This will make it to where you can run everything on high.
Now,
because before people were looking at Red Dead Redemption 2 saying, oh, I can have so much better. Well, they're finding out that even with the latest video card, the top video card on the market right now, you can't run Red Dead Redemption 2 on high. If you have a 4K screen and you're trying to run Red Dead Redemption 2, you cannot run it with the top end video card right now. So that's an issue with it, but that's not going to be an issue with something like this. If they design games for it, kind of like they do with console, they can tune it better and they can probably deliver you on a console or something similar. About PC level or better graphics quality. There will be delay. PH points out input lag. It's not the same doing streaming. It's not going to be for first-person shooters and quick reaction games, but for a lot of games, it'll work just fine.
Yeah, and now he does mention that there is a free free version of Stadia, and there is. It's not out yet, but limited to the graphics are limited. There are no free games in it whatsoever, so you have to pay base price for everything, so $60 for every title, and it's probably not going to be allowed on every device. So I think the technology is cool. I just don't think we're there.
Yeah. Google's usually first and not the best. Just like the Chromecast, they weren't the best. Fire TV did much better, but they're one of the first to do things.
Think about it from this angle. And I know we've had a lot of other stuff we'll get into. You mentioned earlier, kid trying to, instead of buying a console, trying to explain this to somebody else is not going to be the easiest thing in the world. Mm-mm. Right? Even my grandparents.
So I'm paying a subscription, yet I'm purchasing the game.
Yes.
Now, why am I paying a subscription?
Like, if I called my grandmother right now and said Xbox or PlayStation, while she has never used an Xbox or PlayStation, she knows exactly what that is. Same thing with my parents. They know exactly what it is. If I try, I would struggle trying to explain something like Stadia to her. And I'm not saying she's the use case for Stadia.
It's like Netflix. You have to pay for the movies.
They don't use Netflix or anything like that either. They watch
I know,
TV.
But it's the same concept. It's like having Netflix, but you have to pay for the movies.
Well, it's like Hulu. I mean, you pay for Hulu and then pay for the stuff. that I think is going to be a problem, because you imagine a 14-year-old, you know, 11-year-old Billy is trying to explain to his mom why she needs to spend $10 a month on this service and then buy games as well. And you don't actually have a console. You don't actually have anything physical. And it's, you're playing it on what? Your phone? Because these people don't have, these people aren't playing on computers probably. And there's no console app. So no. What are they going to, they're going to buy a Chromecast and play it on that? That's what Google's recommending.
On their TV.
Yeah, well, they got to play on the TV through the Chromecast. That's what Google recommends. Their little circular, their little hockey puck looking Chromecast. Mm-hmm. Isn't that, that's going to be a hard sell for non-techie people who you mentioned, I agree, is part of the audience. Because you and I have no interest in this service. It's useless. You've already invested the money. I've already invested the money. I have an entire catalog of video games behind me. I have 24 systems. I've already got the investment. It's a weird service. It's very cool. The technology is super neat. I don't know.
I just think it's going to be too clunky. I don't think it'll take off.
I said this originally when we talked about it. I don't know what there's no market. Who's the market for this? Explain to me who the market is.
I have no idea.
It's too confusing.
I mean, right now.
This doesn't make sense. This does not make sense for a regular consumer. Trying to explain.
Do you think it's kind of like the Google Glass? I mean, Google Glass was for hobbyists and people that wanted to say they owned Google Glass.
It's quite the opposite, because the hobbyists have no use for this service.
But I'm saying it's for people that just want to say that they have a Stadia.
But you don't have a Stadia. That's the thing. You don't have anything. You have a freaking Chromecast and a white controller. You have nothing.
Yeah.
Like here, I got the Apple Watch. I got the AirPods. I got all that stuff. They're physical things. I have them. I gotta live up to my, you know, my reputation of being privileged. So I have all these things. I don't have Stadia. I won't have anything physical. That does not make sense.
PH points out China.
Yeah, you think this is going to be allowed in China?
I don't know. I don't, not in the form it is.
No, God no. And I'm really pissed. Let me tell you. Let me tell you what's another thing here. I'm beyond pissed that they wouldn't talk to us at PAX.
I
absolutely am bitter about that. I was really interested in hearing more about their service and have somebody explain it to me, and they wouldn't give us the time of day. So fuck them and their service.
They heard about our podcast. They know better.
I mean, seriously. I was just interested. These are the kind of questions I would have liked to ask. Who exactly are you selling this to? The hell was Stadia?
I'm curious what they would have said.
I don't think it's the service is cool from a nerd technology standpoint. I don't think there's a player base. I don't think there's a user base. And the service, frankly, does not make sense. Today, in 2019, it just doesn't make sense.
I think the bigger use case would be people doing some sort of development or working on whatever collaboratively before require a local network and a bunch of tools to do it. I think that that's going to be their use case of selling this to companies to do collaborative work with something that's visual. I think that's the use case. I think that's what all this whole thing is for.
Maybe. Well, interesting conversation. I enjoyed it.
All right. Do you care where we go from here?
No, we've got about 25-ish minutes.
Okay. So, they did announce EA and Steam, you know, they're working together and they're going to be doing a cross save and progression sharing between Origin Access and Steam. So that's something that we've been talking a little bit about, you know, how are these companies going to be handling saves and, you know, doing progress and all this. Steam has not really answered it up to this point. They seem like they just really don't like working with other companies, but I think with the competition that's been popping up lately, I think that now all of a sudden Steam is starting to make some changes and saying, all right, well, you know, we'll add some features. We'll actually do some cross-platform stuff, because with consoles and with everything else, there's been no way with Steam to do any of this. So I think that this is something that it'd be interesting to see how many other companies start to do this. You had mentioned, I don't know, it was a couple weeks ago, how many of these are going to start kind of folding back into Steam. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Well, I think they're going to make it to where they just, it doesn't matter which one, you know, has all the same features between the two. And then they could eventually probably just merge them into Steam again.
I see the two big ones, obviously EA already, but the next one that would make sense would be Uplay. I would see both of, I could very easily see both of those services kind of mending into Steam, and that would leave you Battle.net, and they're not, Battle.net will stay separate because Activision and Blizzard really are not competing for game market. They're their own thing.
Yeah.
It'll be Battle.net, Epic, Riot if you play League, and then Steam. But I see Ubisoft with Uplay and EA just pretty much completely getting rid of their service. It just doesn't make sense right now.
Yeah, and so I think that this
Microsoft
will be...
too. PH mentions Microsoft's whole thing. But they with their Xbox though, they'll just keep it. It's the same. They'll do their own thing. But it would make sense for them to morph.
So, but this will be something that finally Steam is improving their platform. I mean, it seems like they, for how many years have they sat there and not done anything?
Well, they've improved their platform. It's just not. I mean, they've recently
just revamped some of the UI.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they've done little things here and there, but for how much money they bring in.
And the in-house streaming and Steam, like, they have done a lot of things. You're not giving them enough credit. They've done a lot.
I think of cloud saves as an early on thing. I don't think of it as something they've improved. It's always done it.
I'll tell you this, Brian. I think you're falling into a trap. Mm-hmm. You're being trapped. You're falling into the trap that is unfortunate when you make a very good product. Is that you don't see the improvements because they're just so, in a lot of cases, they're just so seamless. Like, they just introduce a feature, it just happens, right? Yeah. Like, you don't notice it. And there's never the new sexy feature because they're just constantly morphing and rolling things in and out and incorporating things. And when you're not looking at a list, like right now we look at Epic, their game launcher, and we see a list, a roadmap. These are the things we're going to do. You're like, oh, those are pretty neat. Steam just put those things in over time and nobody ever said anything because they just worked. So I find myself falling into that a lot when it's like, nobody complains about a good, people only complain about the bad thing. Yep. And for the most part, I don't really have a whole lot to complain about Steam. It's always up when I want to use it. The service is fine. I've never had an issue with it. You've mentioned their customer support is not the greatest, but they did when you had a problem, they took them a little while, but they solved your problem. They gave you your money back. I don't. There's not a big gripe with Steam. The biggest things you could say.
And PH makes a good point. They pretty much killed a bunch of the piracy that was happening.
Oh God!
If you think of prior to Steam,
Skid Row,
everybody was just downloading games. You know, and there was no real limit to owning a game. There was nothing limiting. The DRM wasn't a real thing at that point, other than you had to have a disc or a manual that had some word you had to look up, which nowadays would be nothing, right? I think that was a big difference. Steam came in and was like, okay, you actually have to own the game to play it.
Come get my Skid Row copy MW2. Chilling. Hey, man, that's what it was like. You know, that's what it was. Everything was Skid. Get your Skid Row copy here.
But I think that with them having a little bit of competition, I think that they're starting to make some of the reaching out type of fixes.
Yeah.
Of let's reach out and actually do cross saves. Let's do something that works out with another service, because these other that they do probably view Epic as competition for this cross saves between consoles.
They are. Absolutely. And
these guys haven't really dealt with that 100% yet, but this may be a step towards that. So,
yeah, I like Steam. I don't have anything bad to say about Steam.
Hey, I've got tons and tons of games in Steam.
You're all in, man. You got a 401k invested in Valve.
I know. I just sold my whole account.
Oh, yeah, definitely not against the terms of service.
Now, one thing is there was an article on Massive EOP talking about how spending overall is down
for gaming
and for gaming in general, for in-game spending. Not for the games themselves, but for the microtransactions and all those things that are happening. And they're claiming that it's because gamers are getting leery of the monetization schemes that we've been seeing in games. So and I don't know how much of this is a lot of the different games have kind of been changing. Fortnite changed to a different type of system. We've been seeing all these season passes. There's been less of the kind of predatory marketing of buy this skin or buy this gun, buy whatever. They also say they claim that it's in-game spending has reached a saturation point, you know, with the loot boxes and battle passes and one-time boosters and all these cosmetics things, and that it's not enticing people like it used to anymore. So well, the developers are having to go out and identify other approaches to getting players to spend money.
Isn't that crazy, Brian? The free market decided that they didn't want that stuff. Isn't that exactly what we've been talking about? How I don't care about microtransactions and I don't care about all these things because I don't buy it.
Yep.
And this is exactly what we're seeing.
And you're starting to see that mostly on the mobile market. Mobile market had a spike of, it was mid-year this year. They had a spike of purchase and it's just been going down ever since. So I'm not sure what, you know, what caused the spike, but in general, they're just kind of gradually going down now. Other than console, you know, it did go down, but now it's on a slight uptick. Mobile and PC, they're going down at the moment. So we'll see where this goes in the long run. But
well, you notice
I don't mind.
Go console ahead. Went up, but they're so much lower than mobile and PC that it's not a 1-to-1 comparison. It's a very skewed number. It's less than $1 billion.
Just because there's not an easy way to transition that. You don't put your credit card number into an app inside of a console.
Well, you do.
You know, you have to go through the store.
Oh, well,
that's what I'm saying. You have to go through the store.
Yeah.
With PC and with all these in mobile, you don't necessarily have to do that.
Mobile's
or
bad.
It's much easier. Yeah. And so I think that's the big thing is one benefit of a console is it's much harder for them to monetize and do all these little things without it being incredibly obvious and, you know, feel like you're just having to go to the store and do all these stupid things.
Well, and something to come back around to a conversation you've had with me many a times, you look at the age of the people that are most likely playing console, it tends to skew to a younger audience, aka not as much discretionary income as somebody your age or somebody my age in their early 20s. That's a huge factor. In the mobile phone market is just a total wild card. It's just a total... total cluster of people. There's no average age, but I would say for the console, it tends to skew younger. PC tends to skew older. So that makes sense.
Yeah. I think also there's less regulatory in the mobile market. I think on PlayStation and Xbox, they can kind of limit and make sure that there's a little bit of quality of service going into what's being purchased on the store. With mobile, there's just anything. And you see how much money people spend for the stupidest things inside of a mobile game.
Yeah.
And there's just nothing limiting them.
Well,
they cater to that 100%, trying to get them just to spend more and more and more and more money.
And God bless capitalism.
Yeah. And if you don't like it, don't play that game. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
You know, no one is forced to play any of these
games. I know for a fact I've never spent any money on a in-game mobile game. I've purchased apps and purchased things in apps, but never for games. Like I purchased in-app subscriptions for things, but never a game.
I've spent probably like $10 though total. Yeah,
I've never spent.
I mean, maybe 15.
I've never really played anything. I've never really played any mobile games.
So we're getting close on time. So, I'm just going to run through a few of the updates that have been. First of all, Ark.
Yeah, what do they got?
They had their 301.1. And this one was network backend upgrades, new major version required. So that was the one update for November 8th. And then November 10th, they fixed an exploit and fixed a server crash that was on the server only. So that's 301.2. So that's pretty much all the updates for Ark this week. So if you're hoping for some new cool dinosaur or something, it's not.
Yeah, we showed a lot of stuff last week. I mean, you got to give them credit.
Yeah. Well, okay, so, but that's the point, is they are working on a new DLC. That's where they put all their time. They're just maintaining bug fixes to make sure the servers stay up at this point.
Yeah.
Subnautica, they had a big update, or they call it the big little update. And this one, mostly bug fixes, but it's a decent list of bug fixes that they have done. So that's the B86 is the update. It's based on a lot of feedback and just the bug reports and everything else. So they've put out couple updates in the last couple of months, and I think this is just things left over from all that. And they did upgrade Unity to a newer version.
Yeah, let's see. So that is waiting for this thing to open for me. That they did. There's 53 bullet points on this update. This is a lot. It's not many big things.
A big update,
but yeah, fixed potential crashes.
It's a bunch of little fixes, yeah. But it's should make a big difference in the game.
You're talking about 60 potential bugs that they had to identify, track down, fix, verify if fixed, and then put into the game. That's a lot. Even if you're doing two or three a day, it's a lot.
Yep. So that's doing a whole Unity engine upgrade, that's a big deal. And that's just one line of all of these. So another update was done to Scum, and I did look yesterday. I think I said that I would play this at 0.3.1, and we're at 0.2.61.
Oh, baby.
18097.
Game of the week's coming back.
I don't know at what point they're going to transition over to the 0.3s.
Can I send them? I'll send them a message.
Can you please just go to 0.3? And they have a list. This was a lot of bug fixes. No comic this week, but they had probably, 15, 20 fixes?
Yeah,
and easy. Then 5 different quality of life additions they did.
Yeah, vehicles should not despawn in SP no matter how much time has passed. Players will produce jump grunts only if their stamina is low.
They remove the defecate struggle sound.
Constipation sound. Removed unused skills from the metabolism GUI. That's big, because a whole bunch of garbage on that GUI.
Player will produce jump grunts only if low on stamina. So, whatever.
The arc. That guy's an Arcanos.
Yep. All right. So, also we have Zira. They put out an update. This is 5.3. And this one is 3 fixes. They remove the Halloween event. Oh. I guess not so much a fix, but the Halloween event is over, so they removed that. They fixed an issue with AI movement causing them to move abnormally, and then they updated their German translation. Also, we have on here Survive the Nights, and actually, Survive the Nights, this is one that they haven't put out updates for a while.
This is a huge update.
And so they put out, they've been saving up this one. This is the 0.11.37, came out on November 7th. And it's kind of like it's 6 or 7 page update.
There are
a bunch of fixes.
There's about 150 updates on this page.
Yeah. So it's a really big bug fix patch. And so if you have been following that, make sure you jump in and try it out. One thing they did add some decent things in here. For instance, a working RV vehicle they added into the game. But it's kind of mixed in with all these other things. A bunch of fixes and then adding some new content. So that is Survive the Night.
You know what I found? Give me 1 second. Back on the Survive the Night. I probably have seen it before, just haven't noticed it. Right in their patch here, they put at the end of it, this will be our last stable patch before our public alpha version 1.0. We will only be doing experimental patches now as we approach release. If you're enjoying this game, please write a Steam review or update your current one.
I don't think they're listed on the store right now. So I think they're getting people that are playing the game to go on there before they go to 1.0 and actually list.
Yeah, let's see. Survive the... Yeah, I don't see them. I don't see them. So I think that's interesting. And the bigger part is the second part of that. Not just the write a review. Update your review. You know, a lot of people write a review 10 hours in. Then they play another 60 hours and they never update the review.
Go play it. Yeah. See what you think of it now. If you like it, then write a review, you know, and give an updated, because there's people, you could say day one that the game ran like crap.
Or vice versa. You could say day one that, oh, I really enjoy playing the game. Then you realize that by the third day, you're like, oh, there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
You know, and so update your review. I just thought that was interesting. I'm not used to seeing that from developers.
So, and I think they're just all anticipating this for the 1.0.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
I'll have to go back in and try it and see, because I remember when I played it early on, there was lag and everything else. I'll have to see, because they've done a lot of fixes.
How much is
it? And content.
It is $25.
Which isn't a horrible price.
No, it's a very good price.
If it works well.
I wonder if I own this.
I don't think you do.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I forgive you. All right, so Rocket League, they put out, it was a more of an article explaining their blueprints, because they're changing the whole system where they don't have all the same, like, decryptors and crates and everything. It isn't working the same. What they do now is you get a blueprint, and then you're able to, so you reveal a blueprint from playing games, and then you're able to go and pretty much build the item in the blueprint based on things you get in the game. So, blueprints that have been converted from crates will be unrevealed, but then these other ones that you get, I think, from playing the games, those ones you have to reveal, or will be that, I think. Okay, take that back. So the blueprints that you get converted from crates are unrevealed, and you have to reveal them, and then the other ones are revealed. So this is a whole new system. You know, they're getting rid of, they're no longer offering those decryptors that they were doing before. And so if you have those, they're going to be converting them into some sorts of credits. You know, something. So if you have decryptors, you'll get something for them. But then they'll be moving to this blueprint system. And this company was purchased by Epic. And then I think they're kind of reworking and getting more into their line of thinking of how season passes and everything else, and getting away from these microtransactions.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
So, and I think this is a smart thing in the long run to keep the game alive.
Bingo.
Because it was expensive trying to get all these cars and buying the keys. I mean, they were expensive.
Yep. Fortunately, not something I ever had to worry about.
Yeah. Now, you had posted something in here.
Yeah.
Based on your shirt, I wasn't sure if you wanted to.
Yeah, so the Sonic movie released a new trailer. We're not going to show it on the show because we'll definitely get a DMCA takedown for that. But the interesting thing I noted on it, first of all, the trailer looked good, was that it wasn't normally, and specifically about us, we have been very critical in the past of isolated groups of people on the internet saying things, and that changing major things based on a small subset of people. Now, I think most people would agree that the original Sonic the Hedgehog trailer looked atrocious. But yeah, it was just...
It did look nothing like the actual
It was like a caricature. It looked like a meme of Sonic. Like that really crappy cartoon meme that you see, John. That's what it looked like. And it was just interesting to see that... and I put in my notes here. For once, the internet actually forced a good change, because a lot of the time it's reactionary, it's knee-jerk reactions by companies based off of Reddit or Twitter posts that end up destroying things, ruining games, ruining projects, TVs, movies, whatever it may be. And it was interesting to see this trailer looks awesome. Nothing, they're getting nothing but praise on this trailer now.
Yeah.
So I thought that was just kind of interesting. Did you watch the trailer? Are you a Sonic fan?
No, not yet. But I remember the original trailer. I didn't see this because I just got back before.
Yeah, I would recommend people, if they watch the original one, which it was hard to not watch because it was all over the internet. But the new trailer looks like Sonic. Trailer looks good. It reminds me a lot of the Pikachu, Detective Pikachu movie they just did, kind of that live action hybrid, which was good. Yeah. I watched that actually on the plane back from PAX. And that was good for what it was. And this will probably be the same. So, good work, internet. Yeah. Finally, for once, you've
fixed something.
You've not boned us with your reactionary comments about something. So, that was kind of cool to see.
Well, let's jump into Rust really quick. Okay. Rust, they put out some updates. There's a video here. I don't know if you want to play that really quickly. 25
seconds, right?
Yes. So, this is improvements to the tree mini game.
Okay. Well, hold on. I gotta get that. Normally, I've got some time to set all this stuff up, but since it's so short, I guess we'll just play it.
You can see see the little red marks you're used to.
Oh, yeah. Tree's hopefully fixed. Yeah. So they so that X marker, which is a pretty common thing in a lot of games, you get, you break the tree quicker and you get more resources by hitting the X. What other game does that? Rust.
I don't know.
Seven Days to Die does that, doesn't it?
No. They do.
Isn't like a, there's like a little shiny gleam. What game?
No, that's Rust.
Oh. Does Ark do that? Fortnite. Yes, that's what I'm thinking. Fortnite does that. Yes, they do. The little like pulsating thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now they have this new system on the palm, the birch, the oak, the swamp, and the beech trees. So, and this, it should make it to where it's more reliable. So you actually can treat it like a mini game and kind of spin around the tree.
Before it was just like a little like gem glow. It wasn't super.
Well, on the rocks it was. On the trees it was a red mark.
Gotcha.
But I think it was kind of unreliable. People couldn't do it very quickly, I think, because of how it was not reliable and where it went.
Well, yeah, because where your crosshair was wasn't where you'd hit the tree. So you were like it was kind of a pain from what I remember.
Yeah. And it was depending on a lot of the different tree shapes. So like the curved palm tree, the swamp trees with the large bases, those were having a lot of issues with the collision on the client and the server. And it wasn't accurate. So this should make it to where it's much more accurate and should help with that. And there's also another little video. I don't know if you want to get that loaded up. You don't start playing it yet, but that I'll talk about that in a second. They went through and added vending machine map markers. They fixed some issues with campfires. And for instance, if you put a campfire on a slope, the fire would go straight out from the slope and not actually kind of aim as, fire goes up. And so they fixed that. There was an exploit with hot air balloons they fixed. They've been optimizing the environment art. Rust has surprisingly good environment art. I mean, it looks really nice for what the game is. They also have been doing improvements to they made a medium battery that you can do for 75 scrap. And so for people that are running electronics and lights and everything else, maybe that, the area that shocks everybody, for the entry area, so that they have that. They've been fixing the batteries quite a bit. And then the focus, that's, that video, if you want to play it really quick, they've been changing how the focus works in the game.
Yeah. So what are we looking at?
Manual focus.
Oh,
so they have depth of field where you can go in there and manually adjust the depth of field.
Huh.
So I think it's mostly good for doing photos.
Yeah, for videos.
For content creators that want to do cool videos, pictures, things like that. So
DSLR over here.
Yep. So that's one thing they've done. They also have added team chat, so you can privately chat with your team in game.
You know what I found interesting about the team chat is it pulls your Steam icon as the avatar, which
we never know what that.
Oh, that's.
But there are naked characters in the game.
I'm not even worried about naked characters. I mean, there's some crazy stuff in there.
Yeah. They also added a chat menu. They've had the ability to mute. So, it also mutes chat as well. So voice and text chat. And then they fixed some issues with the bow. There's not a video for that. Shadowfrax has a video for it, but there was a delay when firing the second shot for the bow, and they fixed that. Just a bunch of fixes. So this is a pretty big patch. This is their November 7th. So if you're interested in that, playing Rust, you probably have seen some of these things.
Yeah,
but some pretty big updates.
To come back to something else that we were talking about earlier, we're talking about Quixel. Isn't that what it's called? Quixel and Epic. The guys that make Dead Matter, QI Software, just tweeted out, they highlighted the point that said, we'll refund all your subscriptions for 2019 if you upgrade to those new things. So they tweeted out, we'll be using this money to buy pizza for the Dead Matter development crew, community mods included. So it's just interesting to see, Where it really affects is these small groups like this that have mm-hmm. no choice but to buy these tools because it's the only way to make the game.
It's the only way you can be relevant, yeah.
And then to have those things refunded, you're talking about significant amount of cash in the grand scheme of things for these small development studios. So that's cool to see.
Yep.
Just saw that.
Yes.
As I was browsing Twitter.
Yep. Very good. And then No Man's Sky, they put out a new patch. This is 2.16. I know this is your favorite game.
But mostly just excited.
A list of fixes. Yeah. Just a list of fixes yeah. from November 7th. Probably about 15 to 18 things. So nothing worth really mentioning.
All right.
ROE, they put out two updates this week. But both on the same day. The second one was a hot fix to the first one. So, but if you've been playing it, at ROE, I mean, they released into 1.0 how long ago? 6 months ago, I think.
No, less than that. Three?
No, that's longer than that. I think like 6 months ago,
they
went into 1.0, and there's been mostly fixes, but they've put out content. They went through and added an advanced graphics settings and animation overhaul. So if you go in there, you can really tweak a lot of the graphics setting from, you know, and aliasing, and they pretty much added all the features that you would expect, but some more things like the quality of the clouds, vegetation quality, you know, normal things like shadow lighting. So that's all in there now. They've tweaked some of the guns, like the med gun and the reload speed for the M82A1. They've gone through and been optimizing the animations. So like when you climb up things and, you know, vaulting and jumping, a lot of those things they've just made better. And then enabled some additional character looks and did a bunch of fixes on it. So if you're playing that game, maybe you'll probably notice some of the movement changes most. And then the bug fix was just one thing that was causing an issue with matchmaking that they did the same day, probably because based on that patch. So that's it for ROE.
Oh,
Unturned, I think, is our final. We've got everything else other than this.
Yes, sir.
Unturned, they did a California map.
Oh, what's that like?
So, a bunch of fires? I don't know.
Oh, come on, Brian. Boo. You, what a cheap shot. What a scumbag. Boo.
Yeah, it's easy to make a map.
Brian at infectionpodcast.com, ladies and gentlemen. Send your notes.
Yeah. they added the Costa Mesa shopping mall, the Chester Motel, Gonzales.
Chester Motel. Chester the Molester Motel?
Sure, quite the place. Monterey, Calabasas.
Oh, come on. It's Calabash.
But Calabash, I don't know. I've never been there.
Oh, Jesus.
There's actually a YouTube video for this. I didn't put it. I don't know if you want to try playing. It's a minute. Do you have access to it? Yeah, I can put it in there.
Oh, watch the release trailer video. Yeah, hold on. Let me get this.
I didn't put it in there, but I'll put it in the show notes, but it's their release trailer.
Yeah, give me a
California.
Second. Stall for me. Let me get this queued up.
Yeah, no worries. They also have added a journalist, of course, because California has lots of journalists. Also a mercenary. I don't know why that's linked to California, but...
MS-13.
Yeah, maybe.
I've got that video if you want to show that.
Okay, go right in.
Oh, yeah, let's take a look. Oh, that's not it. That's you.
That's me. Thanks.
Oh, hold on. I'm having an issue here.
Maybe.
Hold on. There we go.
We got this.
All right. I'm a professional.
Now it sounds like California.
Jesus. Doesn't sound like a Tesla.
It's like they didn't even show off like half of the things that they added. They showed like empty fields.
Glad we played that trailer.
Like they added all these really cool landmarks, and they show like the outside of a tall building.
The comments on this YouTube video are quite funny. Like,
yeah, are you gonna actually show?
Does this map catch on fire every few days like real California? please bring back the homeless people. Essing on streets. Yeah. Burn.
They could have made them. Yeah, they could have made this much more realistic.
Yeah.
Huh. That'd be the funny thing is if instead of zombies, it was homeless people.
Yeah.
And they're asking, rather than attacking you, they're asking for change.
Yeah. Huh. There's going to be zero guns, LMAO. Okay. All right. You're getting me in a bad, you're putting me in a bad situation. Will you stop? Be an adult.
All right. Sorry. Other than that, I think there was one thing that we didn't really cover. Maybe we'll talk about it next week.
Ooh. Yeah, there we go. A little teaser.
Yeah. So other than that, I think we pretty much covered everything.
Yeah. You too, GF Disturb. Grow up. Come on. It's a family-friendly show. All right. Well, let's do current players. If we'll save this a load for me. Let's take a look at some... where's my audio? Oh, here it is. Hold on. I'll turn this thing up. There we go. All right. Let's take a look at some player numbers. We're way off the trail at this point. Currently playing Ark, 27,835 people. The 24-hour peak, 41,960. With a 7-day peak, 54,170. Moving on over to Rust, 35,199 people currently playing that. The 24-hour peak, 53,868. With a 7-day peak, 74,704. And wrapping us up this week is 7 Days to Die. Currently playing 18,034. The 24-hour peak, 21,813. With a 7-day peak of 32,822. And that is current players. Quick little segment there. Just looking at a couple of the top games that we talk about. So all good numbers.
Good.
It's nice to see 7 Days holding on to its player count. Normally it's dropped pretty significantly by this point, but this is the longest since an update I've seen the numbers stay this consistent, which is good.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully they'll put out another update within a reasonable amount of time. Since they did this one much shorter, they've kind of limited the amount that they put. They still put a lot of fixes into it.
Yeah.
But hopefully they start continuing to keep updates coming out so that you can keep the player numbers up over long term. So.
Absolutely.
All right. Are you ready for tip of the week?
I mean, at this point, yes, we need to get out of here.
Let's go for it.
Okay.
All right. Well, typically either we'll go through a general gaming tip or one for a specific game. And since we talked a little bit about Payday 2 and there's a big update coming for it, that'll be tip of the week.
Have you ever played Payday 2?
Oh, yeah.
How many hours?
Just played a lot.
Okay.
I don't know how to look.
All right. Here we go.
So I actually have 43 hours in Payday 2.
I have it. I've never installed it.
Oh, it's a fun game. As we mentioned earlier in the podcast, they are coming out with a pretty big update for this, and they haven't put out content for a little while for it. But one thing that you can do is, first of all, you have hostages in the game for people that haven't played it. And they, if you have the right perks, you can go through your mastermind tree in Payday 2 and get, they actually will give you health. The hostages will be able to convert to health. But you can also delay the police assault waves by a few seconds with hostages. So if you threaten them and scare them enough, it actually delays the police assault waves. And then when there are police officers, you have to hit the F key. You're able to get a police officer to kneel down and then submit. You can then convert them to your side. And that allows them to then, they'll follow you around. So they can become a human shield at that point. If one of your teammates get taken into custody, normally you would take hostages and exchange them. You can also use, if you've used up all your hostages, those police officers that you converted can be used in exchange as well. So just some interesting things that you can do with Payday 2, a little bit of a tip of how to play the game, but it is a very fun game. Make sure it's $10, I think $9.99 on Steam right now, and they're putting out new content. Very fun game to play with some friends. So that is tip of the week.
Okay.
What, you just because you've never played it, you don't know what this means.
Okay.
You should try it out. Tip of the week. And we should do Friday night game night of
freaking
people can go in and play.
Charles Manson over here.
I know it sounds disturbing.
Oh, really? You think it sounds disturbing? Really?
It's how the game works.
RBK killer. I mean, let's start naming them off.
Yeah.
I'm gonna find you on some TV show one day. They'll make a Hallmark movie about your life, and I'll be an integral part of it.
And they'll play that clip back about how I'm talking about how you need to.
And they'll have me blurred out on it.
You have to get the police officer to kneel and submit and then use them as a human shield.
Yeah. After you commit your serial killer spree and Hallmark does a movie, I'll have a cameo.
Yeah.
Well.
All right.
There's always something to look forward to.
Are we ready for this this game giveaway?
At this point, please.
All right. So congratulations. Oh, it's Judd.
Ayo.
So you have won a copy of 60 Parsecs. Looks like a lot of fun of a game. So I will send that to you in Discord. It's easier.
And I do quickly want to thank a couple individuals, including Gadlaw, our friend Govna, and Big Woody Sauce, all for hitting us up with the resubscriptions here during the program. We appreciate it, guys. We really do it. It helps us out big time. So thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. All right. Is there anything else we need to cover before we go?
No, sir.
All right. Well, if you want to find me at VoiceTheComputer on Twitter, my blog, biteoftech.com, and of course, our website, infectionpodcast.com, and go to join our server on Discord. That's where you can submit news throughout the week. You can come and hang out and talk to us while we play games on Friday nights or whatever night. We have a Steam group if you want to get a notification before the live show starts. If you want to catch us live, make sure you join us on Twitch or on Mixer. Also on YouTube, and we have links for all three of those on our website. We have our audio only forms if you want to listen on your way to work, at work, instead of working, whatever. We have show notes for every single episode that we've done. So this is episode 252. If you want to see some of the videos or any of the articles that we referred to, those will all be available on there. If you want to help support us, make sure the first thing that you could do is our Amazon Prime subscriptions, as he just mentioned. That's a great way to do it without costing you any extra money. Also, you can go on there and support us through Amazon links, maybe through things you're purchasing for the holidays, and also through Humble Bundles. So I think that's it.
My microphone was muted. I was coughing. Brian, thank you very much. Appreciate it as always. And again, game of the week, nothing specific. Show up Friday night and we'll see. Well, you'll see what's going on. Probably playing some Call of Duty. That's what I'll be playing Friday.
Or Payday 2. We'll see.
I mean, yeah. Brian will be murdering people.
You would like it.
I mean, I have it. I've got the DLC. I've got all the DLC. It came on a Humble Bundle, like the Deluxe Edition or whatever.
Yeah. You would like it.
I mean,
it's a fun game.
Will you play with me?
Yeah, I'll play with you.
Okay. Are you going to murder
me? I haven't played in a long time, so.
Will you kill me?
No. You. It's a cooperative game.
Yeah, but I mean, you're like a serial killer. I mean, who knows? You turn on me. Turn me into your meat shield. That was never mind. Yeah, okay. All right. Thanks, Brian. Have a good. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us live. If you're not here live, you should be. We're here live every Tuesday evening, right here, 7 p.m. Eastern. We are on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube Live, the VOD, and everything else. You can find it on our website. It's infectionpodcast.com. My name is Nick Craig. You can follow me on Twitter at Nicholas M. Craig. Of course, if you missed any portion of the show notes, images, links, all that fun stuff is on our website, infectionpodcast.com. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.